Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And so the lines are open, but I'm going to have two more Wyoming governor candidates aired today. So in my second and third segment, so following this first segment, I will have one of the candidates. It's going to be, I believe it's Taylor Haynes that we have in the queue. And then we will have Rex Remmel, who is the final candidate that decided to avail themselves. There's a couple of other ones, but I think they're either trying to buy the candidacy or what have you. I'm not that important, maybe. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But anyway, this show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as 1798part2.org. I don't have that domain launched, nor do I have the RepublicReview.org launched. 1798part2 will be launched hopefully this week or next. And the reason I need it launched as soon as possible. So if you can help, you know, I'm going to grovel early. I need help because I've got a lot of balls in the air and I've got a lot of things that I can't let fall and hit the ground. And so these little things, though they're very, very important, I need help in doing that. But and I will get to why I am really busy in just a few minutes. But you are listening to this is the only show. You're not going to find this on Fox. And though I know there's probably a lot of people that have gone over to Fox right now to watch the Chris Wallace interview as he dresses down Putin, like that's a big thing. It's all show. It's theatrics. And I'll even get into that, too. But the fact is that this show actually has and postulates and actually has not been refuted by even an academ. We have the solution to putting the federal government back within the framework of the Constitution. So if we ever get a Hillary or another Obama, Clinton, or a Bush, or any type of leftist ideologue into office, we will actually be able to make sure that they cannot undermine the Constitution ever again and oppress the American people with federal tyranny, as they have been doing for years. They have been raining upon us in so many different ways. And even though it may seem innocuous, I just can't believe how people have just accepted the level of tyranny that we're living under. Are you really happy with having to flush your toilet twice, three times, or whatever? Are you really happy with all of the federal regulations? The fact that, you know, you can't even work on your car anymore. They've made cars so, so stinking complicated that they don't want you. As a matter of fact, I know there are some states that have some laws on this that they're supposed to make it as easy as possible for you, but there are literally ways that they've made it so that you can't even touch the firmware on your computer. And why does a car even have a computer? We can get into that later, but, and it actually won't be today, it'll be in a later show, and hopefully we'll be actually talking about this after the elections in November, about some very exciting things of how we can shift paradigms on electricity, energy, and so forth. But again, the number to call in is 215-867-8255. That is 215-TOP-TALK. And so as I always say, and this show is actually focused, and I'm telling you, my focus is on the state legislators. I'd be happy to have governors, be happy to have President Trump on, but I will tell him that the most important people in my eyes right now that's going to save us to make America great again once and for all are those 5,445 state legislators who have the authority to reel in the federal government. He may not like that. And there's reasons why he may not like that, but one of the primary reasons is because he probably doesn't understand it. Obama wouldn't like it because he does understand it, and he knows it would dismantle all of the things that he has done and his predecessors have set in place over the last several decades, almost a century, in setting America up to fall. So As I continue on, I'm actually working in building and refocusing, hopefully, I'm not trying to reinvent. I'm not trying to change or flip things upside down. I'm just trying to re-center the focus of grassroots organizations and grassroots leaders so that they become centric on the Constitution. There are going to be those that'll have avarice that, oh man, I'll be able to make money because if I get this guy in, he can make these contracts. I'm going to get something from that because this guy is going to be, very happy that he's making millions of dollars off the government. When we get the government into compliance, there's no more millions of dollars being made off the government or billions and trillions of dollars being siphoned off of our federal government and off you, the taxpayer. And so let me finish my diatribe real quick. I also want you to know I've got these podcasts out there that are on reclaimingtherepublic.org. And so you will definitely want to pick up all of these podcasts so that you can understand and garner what Republic Review is. I have a caller, so let me break from what I was going to say. And go ahead. Is your name Janelle? Or is that your wife? Hello? Yes, sir. Hold on a quick second. I might have a technical problem. Actually, I am not getting anything from you. So let me see here. I have my tech guy look at this, and I'm pretty sure I'm right. So it's probably a problem on the audio side, on the other side. Yeah, I'm all good, so I don't know why I can't hear you. So I apologize for the technical problem. I will try to follow up with you, as I do with most callers when they call in. I regret, and what I'll do is I'll work out the problem on the technical side, because I've actually gone through the application where I interface, and I'm good on this end. So again, I'll call back, get your comment, and we will make sure we put that into the next day, okay? I think it's Janelle. But anyway, my apologies. I'm going to move on to the little diatribe that I always go into. I need support. I can use support via the crowdfunding. I'm still waiting for the bank, and I got to give them a call. I tried calling them, and they had already closed on Friday. But I will talk to them today about getting this open so that we can get the crowdfunding moving. It takes money for people to advertise and for people to send out their message. So I'm going to highlight a little bit on these candidates that are running. This is really important. I can't emphasize how important it is to not get this money. Does not go into the candidates' pockets. This goes into the system, the radios like this one to running ads. It goes into the printing of material to get mailed out. It doesn't even pay the people that go and knock on doors or stand on the roadsides waving signs and so forth. That money doesn't pay for that. It pays for the cost, materials, advertising, and all of that to get these people in. So it is the necessary evil of this process. And so the important thing that we have to focus on is what is the return on investment? So I have to ask you, how important are your liberties in paying a little bit of money to helping these people get across the finish line? I know people have a hard time thinking that what am I doing here in New Jersey and how can it benefit me in getting a Wyomingian into office? Because these Wyomingians and these people, the guy in Idaho and these Wyomingians, these people in Tennessee and these other states, these really red states, are going to start the dialogue. They are going to make Republic Review and the concept of Republic Review up front for the state legislators to start learning and understanding that they have a much greater role, much greater responsibility and power than they have ever learned. It's almost like those, and I think I might have mentioned this before. Can you imagine those Kentucky legislators? Here's Kentucky, a brand new state. The paint on the wall is still drying, and the ink on the parchment still drying probably as well as it just became a state just a couple of years ago. And in 1798, here comes Thomas Jefferson walking into the chambers of the assembly, and they're probably going, hey, you know, applauding and all that. And I'm sure Thomas Jefferson, maybe in his brass way, he was a very genteel man. So he probably didn't say this, but this is what I could just imagine, you know, Chesty Puller saying, shut up. We got roll up your sleeves. We got work to do. And call your wives and tell them you're not coming home for a long time. Because they literally got to work in writing those resolutions. But before they could even do that, Thomas Jefferson had to educate those state legislators in the positions that they hold, the power that they hold, because legislators, as we went through the ratification debates, legislators are the sovereigns within these government entities. It's not the courts. It is not the executives. It is the legislators, the representatives of the people who write the laws and who basically say, this is how we're going to do this. Now, the executives have a little bit of flair in how they want to enforce and implement the laws. But bottom line, the legislators have the ability to literally lock down exactly what, how, where, when, why, and all of those types of things if they so want. The state legislators have almost an unlimited array of things they can do as long as it's within the state constitution. But when it comes to federal constitutional enforcement and oversight, they have, and you've learned this from this show, they have full jurisdiction over everything that is not delegated within that constitution. I apologize. I have not been able to provide any of the bios for these legislators or these governor candidates coming up. But we have Taylor Haynes coming up, and then we'll have Rex Rammel. So I will be back in the last segment, and hopefully I'll actually be able to connect with that caller. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so we're back, and we have Taylor Haynes on the phone, and I'm going to ask Taylor Haynes the exact same questions that I've been asking all of the other candidates. And so, welcome to the show, Taylor.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, GR.
No problem. No problem. It's a pleasure to do this. It really is. But the first question I have, and I've got a few questions, so we want to get through these as quick as we possibly can. How would you describe the Constitution in the least amount of words?
The Constitution is the guideposts or the rails by which the government operates. It protects the citizen from the government, and it gives the government its marching orders, the things that it can and cannot do in the defense of our God-given rights.
Okay. What is the Constitution?
Okay, the Constitution is, as governor, the Constitution is my job description. When I swear to uphold and defend the Constitution, it means I will go by every article, and I will defend every amendment. That is, the citizens' rights that are protected and enumerated in every amendment.
So let me ask you this. Can you describe or explain the limitations or jurisdiction of the federal government based on the Constitution?
Yeah, the jurisdiction of the federal government is outlined in Article 1, Section 8. There are about 17 enumerated powers that give you the jurisdiction of the federal government. And in those 17 enumerated powers, the federal government, federal law, trumps state law, but only in those 17. The most important of those, or maybe my favorite, is under Article 1, Section 8, is Clause 17, where it points out the federal government is sovereign and has jurisdiction in only 10 square miles of Washington, D.C., meaning that the states are sovereign and not run by the federal government, but should be run from their own state capitals by their legislature and their governors.
So based on understanding that the limitations are right there within Article 1, Section 8, how has the federal government encroached upon any roles, responsibilities, and powers of the state, such as the state of Wyoming?
In many very egregious ways, with the unconstitutional federal agencies like the EPA, Fish and Wildlife Service, for instance, they have no jurisdiction in a sovereign state except, say, French Lee Warren Air Force Base in Wyoming. And when we take over management of our lands and leave Yellowstone, Grand Teton, and Devil's Tower in federal management, then they have jurisdiction there. The BLM and Forest Service are management agencies. They don't own that land. They manage that land. However, they've morphed the term into federal lands. So it's been very egregious, and they've taught these people, our people, for generations that those lands belong to the federal government, and they do not. When we take those over, we automatically moot the EPA, Fish and Wildlife Service, BLM, Forest Service, etc.,
right,
so that the state will be sovereign.
Okay, so as governor, how would you deal with that, or how would you execute that?
You execute that as soon as I win the primary with a letter, a certified letter return receipt to every reasonable land manager from the federal government, and that includes the EPA and Fish and Wildlife Service.
Well, let me get a clarification. You said primary. Do you mean general election?
Well, once I win the primary, it's a warning shot.
Okay.
Just to get them prepared for what happens after I win the general.
Okay.
So that there are no surprises. So that they don't think that I'm not going to keep my word.
So let me ask.
Once I am governor, then we will assume management of these, and all of those federal land managers will stand down. The EPA will stand down, and because they have no jurisdiction. And what's so nice is they know it.
So let me ask you this. Which of all of these encroachments is the worst to you and why?
Well, the worst is BLM and Forest Service because, you see, they control our property. And property, the own and keep and use property, is the foundation of liberty, the foundation of freedom, the foundation of sovereignty, the foundation of financial security.
Right.
So those are the most egregious. The other add-on agencies like the EPA and Fish and Wildlife Service are running in the shadow or in the wake of the BLM and Forest Service.
Okay, so what is the most important issue to the Wyoming voter in this election?
Well, it should be those issues, but I think taxes, because the legislature is talking about an income tax in the open. And so we're worried about school funding, we're worried about other things, but basically taxes are high on the mind of people, and health care is second to that.
Right.
So based on my experience, I can solve a lot of those problems. I promise no income tax, no increase in the taxes we have, and that's easy to do. But I've also, in my other life, we already provide health insurance and health care payments across state lines from western Idaho all the way to the Beltway. So we're already in the business of doing that, and I can greatly increase that for our private citizens.
Okay, so my next question then is, and it's a different direction, what form of government does Wyoming have?
Not necessarily a Republican form of government. We kind of have a top-down totalitarian form of government where the citizens don't always have their constitutional rights respected. We have a criminal justice and even a civil justice system that's out of control because we have judges making decisions on the bench, from the bench based on other judges' decisions, neither of which are based in a codified statute, law, or the Constitution.
Okay, so what does it take to change the Wyoming Constitution? Are you aware of the process?
Well, we need a constitutional amendment. The legislature passes, both House and Senate will pass it by two-thirds majority, and then it goes to the people for vote by
Okay.
two-thirds majority.
Okay, so it's a tooth. So it, the final process is a democracy or a democratic process because it goes
Right,
to the people.
democratic process.
So it's not like the U.S. Constitution, where the states are in a state scenario, the counties would be the two-thirds or three-fourths majority. It is literally just a democratic process.
Right.
Okay. All right. And my final question, we're humming through these really good, so you're definitely getting down to business here. If you could pick a vice governor, who would you pick?
Well, it's not a matter of who. I have several people in mind, and I wouldn't ruin their lives by telling you. But I would pick a vice governor who has my same Judeo-Christian foundation and who is as steeped in the Constitution as I am, and who has what I call a Wyoming heart. That is, he or she would understand that we serve the people of Wyoming. We don't rule over the people of Wyoming. We look out for their best long-term interests, and that's who I'd need in a vice governor.
Okay, so there we go. We've got actually 3 minutes to spare. So, what is it that you would like to communicate? Because I want to give you the same amount of time I gave the other candidates. What would you like to communicate to the Wyoming voter and maybe to the patriots that are listening to Red State Talk Radio?
Well, what the Wyoming voter needs to understand now that many of the other candidates are parroting things they've heard me say, in other words, I say singing off my song sheet, that I actually am the best educated, formerly the best educated person in the field, but I've also had the time and experience on the ground to put that education to practical use, to real-world experience. And when you hear people say things about healthcare that they've heard me say without understanding how it works, and so you have to be very careful with sound bites. So not only am I the best educated, I'm also the best experienced in the various areas that Wyoming needs, which are mining, energy, healthcare, and land use planning. So the Wyoming voter, if they want to be free, if they want no taxes, if they want the economy to take off with the private sector driving the ship, then they should very seriously consider voting for Taylor Haynes.
Okay, and actually, this reminds me that I did not ask you one question at the very beginning. For the voters and for those listening, how is it that they can actually reach out to you so that they can assist you with your campaign if they love what you're hearing? How can they send you love?
They can send me love at HaynesForWyoming.com, and it's the same thing on Facebook, Haynes for Wyoming. And they can also ask questions online, which I answer myself. I get quite a few these days, so they have to give me a couple of days to get back to the individual questions, but I answer the questions myself. So HaynesForWyoming.com, either online or on Facebook.
Now, is that the number four Wyoming.com
No,
or
FOR.
okay, Haynes FORWyoming.com? Because a lot of people
Right.
like to throw the numerics in there just to simplify. That's our new language. So what do you think of the education system, since I got a free shot here?
Well, the education system needs to be completely restructured. We spend too much money running federal programs in our K-12 system, and not enough money on teachers, teacher prep, teacher mentoring, and not enough money on teaching materials. We spend a lot of money building Taj Mahal schools that don't even have lockers for the kids. So when I restructure education, a student will finish his or her basic prep by the end of their sophomore year. And then if they want to go to university, we'll have a very rigorous university track for them to start in with no fluff. But if they are gifted to work with their hands like I am as a surgeon, we'll have a full suite of vocations to choose from, and including information technology. No, with information technology, I want to install the same program that Apple, Google, Microsoft, etc. have for their engineers. So when our kids finish, they are world-class technicians, they're world-class plumbers, wiremen, etc. But they know what artificial intelligence is. They know how to do it. They know how to build computers, design computers, how to write code, how to invent code, that sort of thing. So that's what I want for our kids and for education.
Awesome.
And I want to go to a voucher system to introduce competition in the delivery of education.
Okay. Well, actually, we're completely out of time right now because the music for the hard break is just kicking in. And so I would thank you for taking the time out of your very busy schedule to answer these questions. And I'm going to have a second phase or second round of questions, as I didn't get a chance to say this to the other candidates because we literally ran out of time. But I hope to have you back soon, okay?
Great. Thanks so much for the opportunity, GR.
You bet. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. So we're back, and we have the constitutional candidate, Rex Rammel, on. And Rex, the first thing I want to ask is, what is your contact information so that people can reach out to you, give you donations, contact you? What do we do?
Just my website's got all that information on it, and it's simply my name, rexrammel.com.
Okay.
And Rammel spelled R-A-2-M-E-2-L's.
Okay.
So rexrammel.com.
And I'll have that link on my podcast page and on my links page on reclaimingtherepublic.org. And
great, thank you.
Are you active on social media, Facebook, Twitter, what have you?
Yes. My Facebook page is Rex Rammel for Wyoming.
Okay.
And don't do much with the other ones, just Facebook.
All of you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So my first question for you and all the candidates is, how would you describe the Constitution in the least amount of words?
The law.
The
as it was originally intended.
Okay. And so what is the Constitution to you then?
It is the supreme law of the land that brought the states together.
Okay.
For a common cause.
Okay.
But I do not believe that the federal government today gives much much obedience to it until it's convenient for them.
Okay. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to believe that you believe that there are limitations within the Constitution or for the federal government. And so how would you describe those limitations or the jurisdiction of the federal government?
The powers are found in Article 1, Section 8, and I believe that they are a strict list of the powers that the federal government has, and they have no others.
Okay.
And then the 10th Amendment kicks in conjunction with that Article 1, Section 8.
Okay.
And states that the powers that are not in Article 1, Section 8 belong to the states or the people, respectively.
Okay.
And that's pretty much the basis of my whole theory on government right there.
Right. So it sounds like you believe that there are a few, if not several, encroachments upon the states' roles, responsibilities, and powers. And so because you believe that, what are probably the worst encroachments that the federal government has made into the state of Wyoming?
Well, it certainly has to be the doctrine of public lands, not just in Wyoming, but through the West.
Okay.
All of the states really east of the Rocky Mountains control the majority of their land, mostly through private deeds. The states own a little bit, but it's mostly private ground. When it came to the West, the unappropriated land was supposed to be disposed of by the federal government.
Right.
But they never did. And not only that, but in the FLPMA, the Federal Land Management Policy Act, they actually make a claim of ownership, which is unconstitutional, blatant unconstitutionality, and they use that to control the land in the West, which is, I don't know if you could compare it to what the South went through, having the North tell them what they could and couldn't do, but there are some similarities.
Yeah, I don't want to get into the history. I want to focus on your views of encroachments and so forth. Are there any other encroachments that really stand out that have an adverse effect on Wyoming?
Well, there's many. The Department of Education,
okay,
which I do not believe is a power of the federal government, has a lot of control over Wyoming and Wyoming's policy because the money they send, it has stipulations with it. Welfare is a huge one in Wyoming. Medicaid and food stamps and family services and on, those are all controlled by the federal government. That's not a power you'll find in Article 1, Section 8.
All right.
And the list is long.
Yeah, it
is.
It'd
be easier to list the things that they do correctly than the things they don't do, or that they're doing incorrectly.
Yeah, I completely understand, and I agree with you. So let me change the subject a little bit. Do you happen to know off the top of your head what the federal government's revenues are from the state of Wyoming? What do they haul in from Wyoming? Do you know how much that is?
They collect 52% of the mineral royalties off the land in Wyoming. And they control half of the state. So they're getting close to $1 billion a year.
No, but
that's a big deal in a state like Wyoming that doesn't have a huge budget.
It is. And actually, I'm looking for the total number. So in 2016, the federal government's revenues from Wyoming in all the different sources was about $5+ billion.
Oh, it's much more than that.
Well, yeah, so that was 2016. I was just curious as to what 2018 was.
You got to calculate in. The mineral royalties themselves have been close to $1 billion.
Uh-huh.
All the coal, the oil, the gas, the trona, uranium, forest products, grazing, all of those sort of things go back Well, the mineral royalties, they get 52% of it, and that is Wyoming. 70% of Wyoming's economy is based on the fossil fuel industry.
Right, and the individuals are also taxed. There's a personal income tax by the federal government, and I know that Wyoming doesn't have a personal income tax. I also know that there's the excise taxes and so forth. And so I haven't been able to pick up what 2017's numbers were, but $5.5 billion. And I'm not sure if the fracking industry and the oil extraction was alive and well in 2016, where that number may have been affected. But my point is, do you know how much money the federal government puts into Wyoming via grants for paying for their property or the management of their property and so forth? Do you know what that number is?
It's similar. It is similar, and that's part of my argument, is if Wyoming controlled the land and the revenue that came off it, it would pretty much equal what the feds are sending back to us, except that there are no strings attached if Wyoming controls the money.
Right. Well, so the research that I did in 2016 is that the federal government pumped in about $2.5 billion.
Uh-huh.
And so if Wyoming was paying $5.5 billion in total revenue, that means that there's a $3 billion difference that the federal government actually was able to keep.
That even makes their case worse.
And that's why it's important that I try to provide this information to you and all the candidates to kind of help, I think, clarify the picture of Wyoming's current position and its destiny. What do you believe is the most important issue to the Wyoming voter in this election?
I think, what I campaign on, according to the Rich States, Poor States report by Laffer's group,
right,
Wyoming ranks 43rd in economic performance between 2006 and 2016.
Right.
And we're also ranked the 12th most federal dependent state in the union, following Louisiana and Mississippi and some of those southern states. But what I point out to the people of Wyoming is that we are so heavily dependent on the federal government that should the federal government ever fail, Wyoming will go down the same day. We cannot, in our current state, we cannot function without all of this federal control and money. The people are so used to it that they couldn't survive without it.
Okay.
And my other point that I talk about is that it's inevitable that at some point the federal government will fail. I do not believe we can continue to climb the debt numbers, and we still haven't really addressed the unfunded liability of Social Security and Medicare.
Okay.
And Medicaid. So I think that at some point the federal government will enter a Greek-style debt crisis.
Yes, I agree with
you. And Wyoming is going to go quickly.
Yes, but I have a couple more questions. So really quick, because I got a minute left. What form of government does Wyoming have?
Well, it's a republic.
But is it a Republican form of government?
Yes. Yes, we have representatives just like everybody else.
Okay. What does it take to change the Wyoming Constitution?
It takes two-thirds of the people, basically.
Okay.
To change it.
And via
but the Wyoming Constitution is not the problem.
No, I get that. But via a democratic process, in other words, by the vote of the people, not by a majority of the counties or so forth.
Like, right.
Okay. And if you could pick a vice governor, who would you pick?
A vice governor?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I would probably have to do both of them.
Okay. All right. Well, we are completely out of time. And folks, I'm literally at a hard break here. And so we will be back as soon as we can get more candidates in for what we need to do here. And so Thank you very much for your time, and I really appreciate it. I will say goodbye, and we will have you hopefully on again.
Thank you, GR.
Thank you.
It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so there you have it. You've got all the input from the all the candidates. And so what I will say is I'll give you some analysis a little bit later. But what I have done since after each of these interviews, I have provided each candidate my bullets and my videos so that they can watch that. So it was bottom line, I literally stopped after we did this. We stopped and had a quick conversation. I told them my premise that the Constitution is a contract, so forth and so on. So I'm under the impression that they would, based on what I was telling them, might consider that, you know, there's merit in looking up what this person is saying, especially because this is a heated issue. As you can tell, federal lands and federal usurpation is a debated issue amongst these candidates. Therefore, I took the time to give them my bullets that you can find right there on reclaimingtherepublic.org's homepage. And so they've got the bullets for the irrefutable argument for Republic Review, as well as the bullets that describe Republic Review. And they even have the model. I've emailed that content to them. I sent them the link to my last presentation so they can hear the 30-minute explanation of the Constitution if they want to, you know, argue, refute, or what have you, because that's what I want to find out. What I wanted to do up front was to find out where their paradigm was regarding the Constitution. And then after they watch that, and after they digest my content and what I am talking about, what I'm asserting, does their paradigm change, or do they dig in and basically hold on to this bias of the progressive academia's resell of a living document and the federal government supreme and so forth? You will notice that some of these candidates are actually, you know, saying the government isn't supreme, that we've got to fix this, we've got to step in. And that's refreshing to actually hear that. So this is really important, folks. This is why we need to invest in getting Wyoming to lead. So what I want to do is I want to spend a little bit of time here in getting you to understand who, and by the way, you can go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to my Red State Radio podcast page, and you will find the candidates links, at least for last Friday. I haven't put up the new candidates. It'll be tonight. So you can have all four of the candidates that I interviewed, Harriet Hageman and Bill Dahlin, and then now Taylor Haynes, and then Rex Remmel. And so you'll have all four candidates' links there so that you can actually go and get engaged. Therefore, what we're going to try to do is we're trying to get you to help invest in saving the Constitution. I've got three legislators now in the state of Wyoming, and they're all in contested primaries. I know the governors need some love, but the governors actually have probably a lot more revenue coming in than some of these state legislators. And because it's a wide open primary for the governors, there's a lot of people injecting and supporting. And I will tell you who I will be endorsing after we do this next round of interviews as far as the governors go. But I also want to tell you that these three state legislators who are running in different legislative seats, the first one, his name is Bill Winnie. He is in a contested primary, and he actually, so give you a little backstory. Every single one of these folks I reached out to on June 15th, and I gave everybody an interface to my video so that they could actually see my presentation on what the Constitution is and what we have to do to save it. These folks right here came back to me and said, this is interesting. I want to know more. The ironic thing is that the people that they are challenging, the incumbents, made no effort to even acknowledge. You know how on Facebook, you can there's a little timestamp when they've actually seen it. These things have been out to these all the candidates since June 15th, and their opponents have not even acknowledged. In other words, they've done everything they can to bury this because they don't want to be bothered with issues and facts. What they want is just to, you know, they feel so enabled and so entitled to their next run because they're incumbents. And we need to start sending a message. We need to make Wyoming become the cowboy state, or the David to stand up against Goliath. It already is a cowboy state, by the way. But I love the fact that the term cowboy is now under attack by the progressives. What is it going to take to start motivating you? So let me get back to the whole point here. So Bill Winnie is in a contested primary. Clarence Stivar is another, and I'm probably mispronouncing. Everybody knows I don't mean to be bad with names. I need help. And I apologize, but I think Clarence is right. And so he is in a contested primary, and this is actually a non-incumbent. So there are two different candidates. Again, I tried to reach out to everybody. If they weren't on Facebook, they couldn't get that. And so, you know, bottom line, shame on them for not being in the social media fray. And the next one is Carl Allred. He's down in the Evanston area, if I remember correctly. Clarence is over by Cheyenne. And Bill is, I want to say, I think he's up in the Teton area, that area, if I remember correctly. He's in a tri-county type of district. Nevertheless, if you, and I'm going to put these names, and I'm creating a whole new page on Reclaiming the Republic until I get the 1798part2.org up, then all of these people and more information, and you'll understand the whole principle of 1798 and what we need to do. But these names will be on an endorsement page. And so what I will ask you is to click and follow the link and go to these folks' page. I want you to fathom this. If you give $2, if everybody, and $2 is nothing, it's not even a decent tip. So if you can give more than $2, these fighters who are willing to take on the federal government, because these people have signed pledges to uphold their oath of office and to call for an audit of the Constitution. they're on board with protecting you from federal tyranny. So $2, if I just ask you, if you send $2, just whip out your credit card and donate two. If you can donate more, because $2 is nothing on your statement. It literally is nothing. And if you're like me and you pay your credit card off, it literally, it can easily fit into anybody's budget. It just in the rounding figures. If you can give more, though, please do. But I just ask that everybody give $2. And if you can do it on a weekly basis, you will help these folks able to get into the airwaves and help them get out into the primary. The primary is August 21st. We're well over a month away before that primary. We have plenty of time to help these folks get money to them and get them across the finish line. I've got more coming, and some of these are uncontested and some are. So our focus right now to get them across the primary finish line, to get some of these guys in so that we can start building a coalition. We're going to be very deadly and dangerous in 2020 because we've already got a foothold in Idaho. We're going to get a foothold in Wyoming. We're going to get a foothold. I'm confident we'll have a foothold in Tennessee as well. And so those three states, North Dakota and South Dakota to no avail. I was unsuccessful in being able to reach out to Kansas. And if you live in Kansas, if you could help me, please help. If you're in Utah, please help. I'm just asking that if we start contributing to these three candidates, $2 a week, and if everybody that listens, because we're in the magnitudes of tens of thousands here, if everybody contributed, that would be $20,000, right? Or $40,000 or $60,000, depending on if everybody literally that was listening got on board and sent $2. This is the Bernie Sanders campaign strategy that was very successful. He was able to make more money, literally, you know, by just having all of these small contributions than Hillary was able to make with her big contributions. A little bit, but in a big number, really makes out a lot. Big numbers in very few contributions sometimes doesn't make as much. So if this is starting to make sense, please, please get on board. Please help and contribute to these people, these fighters who want to stand up and actually reel in the federal government. This is history, and you can actually be a part of it. If you can reach out and help these folks, then you can even be a much bigger part of history. I am trying to emphasize this, and I cannot emphasize this enough. I want to share with you, I've got less than a minute left. I've talked to these three gentlemen. There's a few more that I'm reaching out, and I hope by the end of the week, I will have more names for you. I want to create the challenge so that we can have maybe 5 or 10 legislators already going in with a coalition hitting the ground running in 2019. Yeah. So that we can create the dialogue and start waking up the rest of the states. If you can imagine the magnitude of this, now we have a strong little presence in Wyoming, and this will actually grow amongst those other people that haven't heard it, didn't take the time, the incumbents, those who weren't racing, like the senators and so forth. And then I still haven't even touched the senators yet. I'm just too busy. But I'm trying to make the biggest impact I can. I'm trying to get the biggest value or go the farthest distance with the least amount of work, if that makes sense. And so I'm out of time, but please hit these guys up. I'm going to be having that page up tomorrow. So get ready to make your donations ASAP. I'm GR Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic, and I need your help. Even these small contributions will actually do the job. Thank you so much. God bless, and we'll be back tomorrow. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.